Welcome back to the Blindsiders. I am Ben here with Dylan and Brian to talk about episode 9 of Survivor 46. And I thought it was another good episode. I think the season's hit its stride. I've been positive on the season for most of the time here. But I think that like the average audience seems to now be on board with the season. The audience of people who hated Banu and thought that he was a waste of space also now seem to be on board with the season. So I'm glad. I'm happy. So I definitely think, barring a like catastrophic, horrible end to the season, I would say this is like with a bullet the best season of the new era for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think we saw the vision, Ben. We were there, but now everyone is on the path. Everyone is comparing this to Survivor Gabon, which we called preseason. So that's why you come to the Blindsiders. You know, we're such freaks, such Survivor freaks that we can listen to people talk for 2 to 3 minutes and be like, yeah, this is going to be a disaster of a season and it's going to be beautiful. But I thought another good episode. The cast really delivers. I don't really think there's a dud. Like, Ben's the closest, but I think Ben still has delivered a lot of good stuff this season. I'm loving it. Dylan, how are you feeling about it?
I like it a lot. I know I agree with Ben. I think a lot of people, I think a lot of the average fan that are watching it are starting to come around on it. I know, like, I'm kind of in the bridge in between both where I was very nervous at the end of the
season. We'll get you there. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I agree. I think the cast is just all around. This cast has just been unbelievable. They've delivered. I'm really glad Q is still here to kind of create chaos, but we still have Venus and Liz in our back pocket also. And it's great. And like I said, my brother, who's like very picky about Survivor and he knows what he likes, and he definitely goes way more for like the old school. Like, he wants pure villains. He like wants like blood, and he wants people threatening each other on the island. And we're like, we're not there, but I think we're the next best thing, which is bad gameplay, crazy people. It's awesome. Yeah, I agree. It's the best season so far. Just saying a lot because I think it's gotten better as it's gone on, but obviously we're coming off of the two best seasons of New Era before this. So it's not like Survivor has been bad recently, but it's it really feels kind of back to what old Survivor used to be. Like, I'm very intrigued to hear what's going on when we start the episode post tribal. Like, everything that's being discussed, people are like genuinely upset with Q, which I love. It's not like a laugh at all, like, haha, Q, you're so crazy. It's like genuinely like, you're ruining not only your game but other people's games too. Like, shut the hell up. It's awesome. I love it. And I think that this is the exact season that Survivor needed. And I think we kind of were incepted with the new era to this point, kind of accepting maybe things that were a little more bland and assuming they were entertaining. But this is pure entertainment. Great season. Like I said, everybody I know that is like a casual Survivor fan is watching it and loving it.
Yeah. I think we did a 30-minute count, and in this episode, 5 of the remaining 7 players in the game besides Q called him some fourth version of moron or idiot, either to his face or behind his back in this episode. I think at this point, stamp Q not winning the game. I think we said that last week at this point, but like, yeah. Hard stop cues how in the game. And I agree. I think the cast at this point is like even before this episode, the last two, like I think Hunter and Tevin and even like Soda definitely not duds. And for me, I wouldn't call Ben a dud. Ben to me is like the ultimate side character energy. He's like the straight man who's also kind of crazy and like kind of just like pops in for commentary now and then. But then like when he talks a little bit more, you're like, oh, he's also crazy. He just isn't being shown as much.
Yeah. He rocks. I've enjoyed him. And like you said, I've enjoyed how much the cast is just like, you know, they've been very vicious in their confessionals in a way that we haven't really seen in the new era. People have been very nice. People are not nice on this season really, which is great. And this shouldn't be, honestly. This should be catty and it's making for a very fun product. And I'm excited to see where this goes, because I really don't have, I have like a few front runners, but like there are also like a lot of people who's like, well, maybe they could win in a certain circumstance. But you are most likely very right that Q is perhaps the one, Venus another one who just like can't win. But if any of the other ones ended up winning, I'd be like, okay, I can see it.
Yeah, for me, Venus, I feel like Venus, if Venus was the winner, we'd be being told a much different story.
Yes, yes.
Because I do think that the narrative for the Venus winner story is there. Like, she's been in on pretty much everything that's happened in the post-merge. Like, you could easily paint her as like some kind of underdog mastermind who's like coming from behind and controlling things. And that's not what we're getting at all. I really don't think Venus is winning.
I think she really need to pull off like a really amazing move, I think, to kind of sway her game at this point. Because I agree, she's mentally there with like the correct thing to do in the votes. And like, obviously, like, I think this was more editing than anything, but she called out exactly what Kenzie had talked about in the scene before, of using this perfect opportunity to, as Q, as the obvious vote out, to go after someone else. But also, clearly, not everybody's dumb, because it seemed like everybody kind of had that mentality. But I think Q is someone who very well could be going to Final Tribal. I just don't think Q is somebody that has any chance at all of winning at this point. Mm-hmm. Q also seems like someone that like you like to hang around with like once a year, you know, but when you're around this person for way longer than a year, they're very annoying. And I can see how that's kind of coming Q with everybody else on the island. Obviously, that last tribal, I think it's very clear he didn't have a plan. It was a pure desperation thing, and he like just took the chaotic evil route. But he's done. I think Kenzie, to me, in my opinion, is the clear front runner. Not by a lot, but I think she's the one person getting the best edit at this point. So that's probably my pick now. Charlie's probably close in second for me. I think Charlie's getting really great at it. I can't really put my finger on who I think is third, but those are the two that immediately stick out to me now.
Yeah, I agree. After this episode, I very much coalesced behind Kenzie and Charlie as my two that I think are the likely winners. But you know, it's the new era, and we've been wrong about winners before. It's like there's a lot of winners that have come out of nowhere in the end game. So yeah, I'm not gonna like put my stake in the sand, but right now, yeah, I agree. It's
kind of something about this season really doesn't seem like that they're building up to that, though. It really seems like that we're along for the ride, and I think that like we said, I think it's very obvious who is in the best shape at this point. Obviously, we did say that, though. Eric is the one that always comes to mind of edits, really awful edits of winners.
And Gabler.
Gabler is in some ways maybe a little bit worse, but so I don't know. It just doesn't feel like that this season, but then again, I didn't expect it that season, so who knows? But like, Q winning would be wild, would be crazy. It was just I don't like that would be insane. Like, hey, look at this wacky guy Q. He won. See how crazy he was this year. It just doesn't seem like that type of season. It really seems like, hey, this is chaos. But there are two or three really, really good players on this season that are going to kind of be able to manipulate that to their advantage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And hey, Q's going to become a millionaire from the Q skirt. I've seen him been hawking it relentlessly on social media this week. So, you know, Godspeed to him.
That's another great thing about this season, too, is people are like from the season are chirping online at each other, having mental breakdowns. It's great. It's like never ending entertainment.
Yeah, it definitely solidified that, like, if I ever went on one of these shows, I would make like an account specifically for this show and have someone else run it and try my best to never look up my name on social media because I don't blame the players for wanting to chirp with random people online, but like at a certain point it's not healthy to do that. It's not healthy to look at what all these people are typing about you who don't know you and don't like view you as anything more than a character. And certainly, you know, we podcast about this. Like, we're not above the people on Twitter. I mean, we don't go after people like some people on Twitter do, but like, I just don't think it's healthy in this day and age to have this little of like separation between your regular life and like the reality television life. You know, the good old days of Survivor, they didn't have to deal with this. It was only like, you know, Jerry getting booed at the reunion. That sucks, but she could probably go home and not have to deal with vitriol in the same way that you probably can't these days. You just open your phone and people are being assholes to you.
Well, I mean, Jerry also got harassed a lot in the real world. You know, there was like the famous one where she got she got like harassed by like a flight attendant or something like that.
Oh my god.
She went on a flight.
People are psychos, I guess, just through line of complete psychopaths, because that's such insane behavior.
I can't imagine what it was like back then too, when Survivor was at its absolute top of just people who are playing a villain role.
When there were like 1 in 3 Americans were watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeff Probst was riding jet skis and looking at the Statue of Liberty, like nodding. That was great. What was that from Amazon, right? He like had a jet ski, and like kind of wanted to imply that he drove a jet ski from the Amazon to New York to read the votes. What a time. They aren't doing it like that anymore, though. Jeff is breaking out props this season and being mean straight up to contestants, which I really enjoy.
Yeah. So do you think that you think Jeff's trying to get a gift for himself? You think like he's annoyed that like all of the famous like CBS reality gifts are of the players and there's not many that are of him?
Yeah, I think I was waiting for somebody to post the Jeff Probst eating popcorn gif, and I didn't see it. I still haven't seen it to this moment. I've considered making it myself, in fact. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. But I think you're right, Ben. I think he's a little sad. There's no good Jeff Probst gifts, except for the 2.5 Men Jeff Probst gif where he's naked with bacon. That's pretty great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep in mind, though, you know, Michaela Bradshaw, she was on Game Changers for a reason. She did it first.
She did it first. She did the tea also. Mm-hmm. She really was a game changer.
Yeah. What a wild, you know, we were speculating the Survivor had like their guerrilla marketing on their social media, and it's very, can be very eclectic sometimes. And they were sharing a bunch of famous scenes in the past of contestants eating popcorn on rewards and such. And we were trying to figure out what that meant. This is what it meant.
I'm dumb. I thought it meant there's going to be a popcorn reward in this episode. I mean,
technically there was.
Yeah, I guess. Jeff gave them popcorn. It's kind of like, you know, when you go to a restaurant and you're like waiting and they like give you a little bowl of popcorn. That was kind of what it was like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a reward for having an entertaining tribal council.
Jeff's out here being like feeding them to reinforce the behavior he wants.
He's like Pavlovian. Good survivors, fight more, fight more.
That pretty much was what he wanted. That's
what you guys think. Nice.
Say that again.
What'd you guys think of the seat cushion?
Oh, that's what I mean.
Seat cushion at first.
I think he's like I think he obviously this is Jeff of like 6-9 months ago or whatever, but I think that's maybe the point where he realized how good this season actually was. Because before too, he would talk about how you always can kind of sort of maybe judge a season before it happens based on how Jeff talks about it beforehand. Mm-hmm. And I think that if I remember correctly, before the season started, there was a lot of there was a lack thereof of Jeff kind of praising the season going into it. But I think it's clear that he's enjoying it. I think maybe get a little spark of old Jeff back there, kind of like embracing the chaos and kind of wanting, you know, messy, sloppy gameplay. Like I don't think we're all the way back there with Jeff, but I think we're getting a glimpse of him really fully enjoying it. He probably was like, it might be him being like, just keep acting completely ridiculous.
Yes. No, definitely. He was like, I'm locked in. I'm ready. I got the seat cushion. You know, Jeff is getting older too. We should get him maybe a throne of torches so he can rest his back a little. Just of the fallen survivor players, just built out of those. But you know, I thought it was very fun that he like you said, he just seems to be enjoying himself. He's just like, this is nice. This is like a spark of Jeff that we haven't necessarily seen. Where he definitely is outwardly like, this is Survivor. This is so much fun. But it seems less of a put on in this, you know, kind of way.
It's not even just tribal either. It seems like he's having more fun at challenges too. And like engaging in banter with people. He does. Maybe he hated all those Survivor nerds just as much as I did. Even though they're exactly what he wants in the game. Maybe he like realized he hates them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah, I mean the losers or Yanu comment, you know, that was pretty brutal earlier. The calling out the three people this episode, that was, you know, uncalled for but funny, and then they proved him wrong and he owned it. So it's all in good fun.
Yeah, that was confusing to me because obviously those three were put together because they were like the social outcasts essentially. But like social outcasts doesn't necessarily mean the worst team in challenges. And like he was pretty good at challenges. Liz and Venus were on Nami, who never lost a challenge.
They seem fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the other side, we have Ben, who is like probably one of the worst at challenges from what we saw on Sega. And then we also have the two remaining Yano people, Kenzie, who kind of like, in my opinion, got away with a lot in terms of being bad at challenges. So like for me, with Jeff, Kenzie could have been by far. No, I disagree. It's 100% the worst team here is the Kenzie, Tiffany, and Ben team.
Yeah. Now Kenzie could have been in trouble on another tribe, you know, if they lose early. She could have been like a pretty easy boot. So I think you're right. I think it was a little surprising. I don't know. Maybe it's like Venus is very thin. Liz hasn't eaten in 72 hours perpetually. 72 hours hasn't eaten. And, you know, Q is part of Yanu. But, yeah, I thought they put up a great fight. I thought the immunity challenge was fun. I don't love the, you know, down, like being on teams and it going down. I think it's fine when it's like individual and like each level of the challenge eliminates people, but I don't love being this part of a team thing. I know they've been doing it in the new era. How do you guys feel about that?
It's another testament maybe to how good the season is, because I feel like I would be complaining about this with all the other seasons. It's just something that's just not even crossed my mind just because of the entertainment we're getting everywhere else. They have done a good job of staying out of their way for the most part. Obviously, we still have like that fake pre-merch whole thing that I despise. I know we've talked about it already of the three tribes rather than just coming in with two, but like things with like idols, they seem to really have calmed down on and advantages and all that. So I think it makes the dumb challenges like this like more tolerable. And then put that on top of it just being a great season with characters. I think it's fine.
Yeah, I do think I think we've seen why split tribal is bad, and at the very least split tribal at 12 is marginally better than split tribal at 10, because the 10 and 9 votes are historically really good, as we've seen. Like these 10 and 9 votes were really, really good, and when you do a split tribal at 10, you lose that. As far as the challenge thing, I appreciate it at the very least that they realized the losing your vote aspect of it that they did last season was bad, and they didn't do that. So I was fine. Like, as long as it's just, you know, constrained to the challenge, and at the end of the day, it's just one person walks away with immunity, and that's it, and you wash your hands of the challenge. However they want to do it, it's not that big of a deal to me. I was just happy they didn't do the vote losing part. People losing their votes at this vote could have derailed this entire really interesting scenario we got.
Right. No, agree with that for sure. I just don't like the idea that Q pitch that you can sandbag somebody, you know, and prevent them from winning. It's an individual immunity challenge, you know. But
they've done coconut chops for immunity though, and I think that's way more egregious.
Yes, that's I think horrible.
Especially the one thing we've seen from Q so far in this game. I think Q would much rather find a way to either sabotage someone else's game or give up on a challenge rather than trying to win it, it seems like.
Right. Yeah.
It seems like that's really kind of becoming who Q is in this game.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, let's see, what else is there in this episode? I mean, I guess it's kind of surprising to me how Nami just completely imploded. You know, now all Venus has to do is take Liz out and she's, you know, run the entire gauntlet of her tribe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would have thought Liz and Venus would be the last two standing?
No, no one. Not me, for sure.
I didn't think, I wouldn't have even said that last week.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah, I think, you know, it's surprising, but I love it. I love that it's worked out this way. I think it's really fun. I think Venus's attitude has been really fun in the last few episodes. And just being like, I openly hate these people so much, and I hate, like, being here. Maybe she even hates Survivor. I don't know, but, you know, it's entertaining.
So that's one thing I did want to bring up in this episode, that I think, based on her tweets last week of saying that she is getting a bad edit, once I finally saw that cut Maria scene and the way that Maria has been built up in the game, I feel like the way Maria has treated people, based on what we've seen from cutscenes and in the game, has been way worse than what we've seen from Venus. And I feel like there's maybe some merit to her being upset with that when it comes to edit. Why that is, obviously, like, that remains to be seen with how the game shapes up, but I can start to see her frustration, because a lot of people, I think, hate Venus. I don't hate Venus as a player, and I enjoy her as a villain, but as we discussed before too, I don't think she's a bad player. I think she's somebody who, like, doesn't have footing in the game, but has the right idea.
She doesn't have footing, but she is always voting correctly. Like, yeah. She's in the loop. I think
for the most part, yeah.
I think, like, she, in her mind, was calling shots and, like, people were listening to her, but it just happened that people were having their own games align with hers and, like, using her for votes. And I think maybe she might get to the end and people might say that to her. And then she was like, well, they'll see. When the show comes out, they'll see that I was actually, like, calling the shots, and that that's not been the case. So I could see why she would be upset then. I don't know if you guys agree, disagree with that.
I guess. So, like, she... So I guess in the comparison would be, like, if this is the modern day Gabon, like, you know, she'd be Sugar, right? Like, you know, where zero vote finalist, but kind of strategically ran the back half of the game.
Right. Well, I think even Sugar, like, she was making decisions, you know, all throughout Gabon, where people were, like, going to her, and she was the one somehow always in the position to make the final call on stuff. Where I don't know if Venus is necessarily, you know, like, are people doing stuff with Venus, or are they doing stuff and then, like, including her in on it, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think at this point the story we're being told, at the very least, is that Charlie and Maria are those people.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I don't know. But I think she maybe expected a similar edit to what Jordan got, assuming she is, like, a zero vote finalist, right? Where, like, she loses because of social reasons, but the show still presents the strategic aspect in a positive way.
Right.
There does seem to be, like, this weird obsession with all the players this season of getting credit for the big moves. Where, like, sometimes people make the big move and don't want credit until they can call it out in Final Tribal, kind of to highlight it. But it does seem like, and I wonder why narratively, if maybe this will be something that is brought up later, of somebody crediting moves when they didn't do it or vice versa. Because it's like once an episode, we have somebody talking about not getting credit for their big move. And we saw in the highlight for next week, Liz having what seemed like a complete meltdown over her game and Q going down, whatever that's going to be about. But Liz is another one, obviously, that we've heard a few times talking about the moves she wanted to make and somebody, other people getting credit. And I can see why she would be frustrated with Q for that exact vote, because she was the driving force behind that and getting Tevin out to start that. But it's just like, it's become like an every episode thing of somebody being like, well, that was my idea, but they're getting credit. Like, I wonder if that will play down the road, or we just have a bunch of people that are so desperate to get the recognition for their moves on this season. I don't know, but it becomes more and more noticeable each week.
Yeah, I appreciated that segment with Liz at the start of the episode, because like, it's not really something that the show really addresses very often. When like somebody doesn't get credit for a move that they think they should, and that like the show is telling us they should. I think a lot of it also comes down to like, Liz didn't really improve her position with that move. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, in a bubble, it was like a flashy move that she can take credit for in theory. But as we saw, like, Liz is the one person that seemingly was outside of the know of what was happening at this tribal council, obviously besides Hunter. So she made the move, she didn't get credit for it, and then she ended up in a worse position, and then she was out of the loop for the next vote. So like, it doesn't really matter, like, at the end of the day, if you're like mortgaging your long-term game, like, I think it's big move-itis in a lot of ways, and it's big move-itis that didn't even pay it off in the short term.
Different circumstances, but the same exact thing happened to Tevin just the episode before too.
Right. Yeah. These big moves, not usually even good. It's not even to say like not always good. It's like making these big moves at this point in the game. This, you know, there's certain pivot points like Final 9, Final 7, sure. But like when you're at like double digits and you're like, I'm taking this huge swing, it's like, how much has that ever worked out for somebody? It's much more likely that they're just gonna be like on the jury.
Yeah, I agree. And it's hard because like I think like the way that Survivor has developed recently in like the last like 5-ish, 10 years maybe, is this like kind of big move resume way of looking at things. And I don't necessarily like want to completely shit on that. You know, I know a lot of people are like, yeah, that's a stupid way to look at the game. But it's almost like a perception reality thing where if everybody mm-hmm. looks at the game that way, that's kind of just become the way that you have to play. But a big move in a move that you take credit for should only count if it actually improves your game. Like,
yeah.
In my opinion, like, you can't be like, oh yeah, I did this, this, and this. And it's like, okay, well, did those things actually make you more likely to win? Or did you just do those things and then you kind of lucked out in a bad position? Like,
this cast who saw Carolyn's whole ordeal too, with where Carolyn was playing very well, made the right moves, but had no way to both because of personal reasons where she's just is not a fantastic talker, and also was just not able to communicate to the tribe exactly what she had done to win the game. I mean, she was 0 votes or 1 vote. She was one of the votes. 2.
Yeah, zero. I remember tweeting the rock star like real nice, like 0 votes after that, because I was not happy that they didn't give her even 1 vote.
And I wonder if that has something to do with the two people seeing that you can play a good game behind the scenes, appear to play a good game to the viewers. But if it doesn't look like that to the tribe, you're screwed, which obviously that's like that every season. But I think in Carolyn's the first one that comes up to me, because her being a 0 vote finalist is nonsense to me for that season. And I think maybe that because this was they were filming this. That was the last season they saw. So, I mean, it makes sense maybe for them to see that and kind of think that's where their game has to go, that they have to get all this recognition up front, or else they're done. But look what's happening with that now, where people are pulling off big moves and they're eliminating people maybe too early. I don't think Liz eliminated Tevin too early. I think that was the right move. And then she just got screwed over by Q doing what he did. Whereas I think Tevin maybe getting sold out was the wrong move at first. Maybe it's forcing people to do things too early, but we had that. We also had that other season a couple seasons ago with Marianne, where she was the last man standing of every week. We had somebody trying to pull off that big move to get the previous big, the big alpha dog out.
Yeah. I mean, we talked a lot, especially with like Marianne, like the inheriting people's resume by being the one to take them out. I think that's like a good modern way to play. But I think like for future players, if you are listening to this, your big moves should be working to limit the options of the other players in the games, where I feel like a lot of these big moves are big moves, but they're limiting the player who's making them option. You want flexibility. And you want to like form like a stranglehold on the game by your big moves. And I just feel like people aren't getting that aspect of it. Like every big move should be to put you in a better position. Like Ben said, like each time you're the one to, when you get to the end, no one can argue that you weren't the one pushing the game forward. And even if you are, sometimes that isn't enough because people are just like, well, I don't like you for doing that and putting me in that position. So it's a really difficult balancing act. But I do think people, when you're sitting on the beach on day 15 or whatever, and it's the final 10 or 9 or what, and you're like, I want to blindside my ally, think about if that's going to like allow you more avenues to the end, or if you're just like chopping off an avenue for no reason other than, oh, I have this on my resume now, you know? Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, let's talk about Kenzie.
Speaking of someone who almost did it for no reason and lucked out. In my opinion, she lucked out by not being able to do this. You guys agree with that?
I agree, yeah.
So I'm blinded, and I think maybe I'd be a victim to everything we just talked about, because at first I loved the move. And then when you sit back and kind of think of it all, for the exact same reasons we just talked about, of eliminating your ally for no reason, which in the end,
especially you Tiffany, who's been painted as perhaps the most loyal person in the game, and her two useless allies just want to vote her off for no reason.
I think Kenzie's way more loyal to Tiff than Q is, but yeah, I don't know.
She's one round more loyal. He was willing to sink Tiffany's game one round earlier.
I wonder if she wants to make this move if Tiff's idol knowledge isn't out there, if people didn't know that Tiff had the move. Like I don't think so. I think kind of everything we just talked about, maybe it's a show off move of like, hey, I got this person the other day, rather than getting the final turn, be like, hey, by the way, I got Tiff out and she had an idol and I knew that and I didn't tell anybody, type situation, which it's impossible apparently for anybody to keep the secret about the idol. So I don't know if we'll ever see that again, but, I don't know. At first I loved it. And then when we sat back and I thought about it, both A, I don't want Tiff to leave, 'cause I think she has more to give the show than what we've seen so far. And B, it just wasn't the move for Kenzie, who I also want to see go further. And we finally broke that cycle we were just talking about of Tevin to Liz to that, then now that maybe back to Kenzie, because that tribe, regardless of what's happened with Q, is incredibly lucky that they've both skilled with their social game and incredibly lucky that they've gotten the stranglehold that they've gotten on all these other players, because they were in such a horrible position coming into this merge. And it seems like everybody's just so hell-bent on getting out, even their own allies, if they can. So I'm glad it didn't end up happening, but I did love it at first. But when I actually used my brain, I realized the negative effects of it.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at the new era, pretty much every winner has either played like an extremely loyal game and never cut their allies, or like only cut their allies very late, like final six on. Like, there's just... at this point, there's no reason to cut your allies any earlier than like six or seven. Cutting your number one ally at 9, even if you're Kenzie and you have... Kenzie has a lot of wiggle room. Like, she has a lot of social wiggle room. Like, a lot of runway. She has a lot of exit paths, even if she were to have cut Tiff. Like, even with all of that, I still think it's just blatantly incorrect. And it's she's lucky that it didn't go through. Yeah, I don't know. I've been like slowly inching towards the like Kenzie is the winner, you know, conclusion. And when I saw that, that like joggled my brain. I was like, wait, what? Why was she... there's no way she can vote off Tiff here and win the game? And then, you know, it didn't end up happening. So now I'm like, okay, so I still think she can win. But yeah, I don't know. That thought didn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
I don't either. Yeah, it's like she went to bid on something that she didn't need on eBay and got outbid at the last second. It's like, yeah, maybe she's mad at the moment, but she'll look back and be like, yeah, why was I trying to buy that in the first place?
You sort of mentioned it too earlier, Brian, where previously in like other seasons, older seasons, non-New Era seasons, you would see people trying to manipulate Tiff's idol for themselves rather than just eliminating it altogether. There's obviously a time and a place where it's appropriate to eventually eliminate Tiffany if you think that it's appropriate because she has an idol, this not being one of the times. But I don't know, maybe it goes back to both the big move thing and people are just, I don't know. They'd rather take the easy way out rather than trying to forge it for their own game. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure it's hard too with the Final Four Fire Making Challenge where you feel like you have even less opportunities to get people with idols out. Mm-hmm. That certainly can't help. But yeah, I don't know. People, I don't know. Idols don't scare me that much if like you're working with the person with the idol. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fine. Just make them, you know, let them know you're on their side and just go with it. Like, to when it just expires and it's harmless, you know?
Do you think we're eventually in for a season where Jeff's going to surprise everybody and not do fire and do like a proper final three? No.
I don't really believe good things happen, period. So I can't imagine that happening.
It would be hilarious if they got rid of mandatory fire making and didn't tell the players. It would be like the reverse of HHH.
That'd be so sick. I mean, they've kind of done it with like Cagayan, where they were like, oh, it's a final two actually. Mm-hmm. And like, that was awesome. That added a lot to the season, I feel like. It would be fun if Jeff, you know, it was like, okay, you win immunity. One person will get voted off and just like send them back. And they're like, wait, so are we making fire? There's no fire making equipment. Are we actually just voting? Mm-hmm. You know, that'd be a good time, I think.
Yeah, it would suck though to like have played towards an end game where fire making was there and then to like get screwed by it. Like, there's somebody, it's not impossible somebody gets like the story treatment and you know the mic needs a story treatment.
Oh well, you can go win the traders later then, I guess.
Because what was it? It was Heroes versus Hustlers, or was it?
Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I know. Dumb name, but yeah.
Watching that season live, there was no inclination that fire was coming at the end of it.
No. Well, there was a guy named Redmond who's like a famous survivor spoiler who spoiled it before the season. But inside from the survivor. From
check it out. Yeah,
inside survivor. But from production and from like the promotional material, no, not until the finale.
Yeah, it really, really felt like they were rigging it for Ben to the point where, like, I've not rewatched that season because it's like, what's the point? You know?
Between the back-to-back-to-back idol into that, like, the general consensus of the fan base was that production rigged the season for Ben.
It blew my mind when I watched it because I had known Ben had won that season. And I don't remember, I think I remember I might have texted you guys thinking that, like, I thought I had ended up, like, reading it wrong. Yeah. That Ben had won that because he was in a very clear position where he had finally been beaten and he was going to be out.
Yeah. And it was like extra annoying because, at least for me, because then he's on Winners at War in probably Mike Holloway's spot. And I think Mike would have been a much more interesting player on Winners at War because I think he would have been a lot more. One, he would have gone in without like the weird, like, oh, do I deserve to be here? Did production rig it for me? Thing that Ben, I think, had. And then, like, I don't think Mike gives up at the end of the game in the same way Ben did, which really irks me, even though I love Tony, you know, like huge fan of Tony. I just hate Ben giving up at the end and being like, yeah, you guys can vote it off. Like for a champion season, an all winner season, for a player to do that was just like, ooh, that's gross. Hate it.
And then COVID came around the corner like a week later too. Just really, really extra.
Yeah, man. Sandra and Parv got voted off the same night that the like announced that they weren't allowing flights to enter the US. It was a tough day.
Yeah, I agree. I think Mike would have been way more selfish. You know what? I said it I don't know if he would have done it, because I know he had a lot of medical issues after the season. But Fabio, I still would have loved to have seen him when he was at war. Obviously, like an Earl, but I know Earl had some real life stuff.
I think he had like a birth of a child right before.
Yeah,
right?
I think birth of a child. Yeah,
I guess that's more important. Fine.
Mm-hmm. And JT, who I feel like it also kind of, he's not necessarily the same Ben archetype, but JT, just because of how shitty he was the other two times out.
I would have preferred JT 4.0 over Ben.
I'm down for JT to come back and continue to put a torch to his legacy, continue to just inexplicably get far worse at Survivor each time that he plays it.
JT also had a revenge story arc with Sandra.
Yeah, it would have been interesting. It would have been. I just wish he never came back for Game Changers and just came back for Winners at War.
JT is like, he's like the football player that like, he's like Johnny Manziel, where like he had like that unbelievable, insane Heisman season, came down a little bit again, but was still like a very, very good player. And like even when he got to the NFL, when he was a complete fuck up, there's still like hope. They're like, I don't know, this guy might still be able to play football. Like, I feel like
abandoning everyone in the ocean and finding the idol. That was hype. That was great. Yeah, that was that, you know, like the flashes that you're talking about.
It's like, because in Heroes versus Villains, JT, I thought, was playing a pretty good game up until JT decided to just go completely insane with what he was doing. And I think the heat got to JT eventually on that island. But, yeah, JT is somebody that I'm like convinced it's still like we could get those flashes. He would come back and be like, I don't know, I think JT could win this season.
I'd never count him out because he was so good on his first season. Like, you know, it's so crazy to have gone from like, wow, JT, one of the greats, to where JT's considered now. Like, I know it's a little hard, Dylan, like to have like binged it and to like see it all unfold. But over like a 10-year period, JT's legacy went so downhill. It's insane. He really, after Token Juice, he really was considered like one of the greatest players. Like, I don't know how to like convince you if you weren't there, but it was real, right, Ben?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, I felt it. First perfect game. Like, basically half the cast of Token Genes was actively playing for JT to win.
It's like, so insane.
You don't see that.
No. And even like watching it back, you're like, this is a fucking masterpiece. You know, this is what's a good way to put it? You know, Tom Brady leading that drive against the Rams in his first Super Bowl, where it's just like perfection, like carving out a legacy. But then imagine if Tom Brady just like flamed out instead of becoming the greatest QB of all time.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I will say I think that the letter in HVV is like not as stupid as it comes off, and as it's been painted as, you know, one of the worst and stupidest moves ever. I think
you can understand where he was coming from.
Yes.
Given none of the villain girls got voted off, and Parv helped run the Black Widows in what was that, 2 years before?
Mm-hmm.
Like in real time, like it was there. Like, it was,
and Russell's a nobody within the franchise. He literally is just playing back to back. He doesn't have the like social connections and the like alumni base that everyone else has. Mm-hmm. You don't expect him to be in like a core alliance.
Yeah, it made sense. He shouldn't have done it, but he took a big swing, and you know, mm-hmm. it didn't work out. It made him look bad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, getting voted off with the idol when you're very clearly in the minority on your tribe on Game Changers, that was bad.
Yeah. So having an idol in a position where you're the obvious target and not playing it, who could do that?
Who would do that? Yeah.
Yeah. Back to Survivor 46.
Wow. What a transition. So
yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. So we talked about it last week. I'll just reiterate, never the wrong move to play your idol if you're 50-50. You know, honestly, if you're 10% chance that you think you're going home and you get no votes, but you played your idol perfectly okay. Getting voted off with the idol, so much worse.
Yeah, especially with the rate that, you know, modern Survivor rehides idols.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know who you are. You're like, you. He should have realized that he's the Ben of this season. You know, production would have hit that idol wherever he's been, you know, climbing in trees or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Up there for worst performance of the season, I think, from
it was bad
in this one.
It's not as bad as Banu begging on his knees as all time, but it's still just not good.
On a season full of bad players, it stood out for sure, though.
Yeah. I think this episode was very clear that he had literally no social game up until this point. Any sort of social game he had was
he was gone. Relying on Tevin to play the social game for when he got voted off.
I think it just in over his head. And yeah, I don't know. Not playing it. I'm sure he feels dumb. He knows it was dumb. There's honestly not a whole lot to say about it other than just it was stupid. All the signs were there. Just play it. Like you said, even if there's a 10% chance, even if like the ghost came to you in the middle of the night and like, you know, you're hallucinating and said, play it, you're going to get voted out. Like you just got to play it.
Who's the survivor ghost of idols past? Is a cowboy for coming up with a plan?
It might be JT from Game Changers coming back to talk to him again.
Yeah,
I mean, JT has
James, obviously, too.
Yeah, James, yeah,
having two idols, that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, James was like the OG, like you know, going
James coming to you in the middle of the night and telling you not to bite the apple.
Yeah,
just meaning, I don't understand, James, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, props, I guess, do we think that Kenzie and Venus were in on it? It seemed like from my perspective, they were, because they voted them out in the revote, whereas Liz didn't, was the one who personally didn't put the vote back.
Yeah, no, it seems like they set it up to be like, either Q's going to catch wind and vote Hunter off, and if he plays his idol, Q will go home. Fine. You know, they all voted, so it's four, so they literally can't really get snaked unless like they believe that people will flip, but clearly they didn't. And then once it was locked in, they're like, all right, well, just vote off Hunter then.
I think if you have a knowledge of the idol at that point, you would be stupid not to vote him out when you have him dead to rights. There's no reason not to at that point, unless he's some incredibly locked in alliance. But there was literally no talk even close of a tie in the vote. I feel like it was very obvious it was going to Hunter at that point for everybody else. Cause once you know about the idol and you realize that there's no chance that they're going to play it. And literally after that point, he cannot play it. I think you just go for it. So
yeah,
it was the right move.
The worst case, Q gets voted off, and none of them are working with Q, so that's fine.
Yeah, I just want to say, if Kenzie and Venus both knew that this was the plan, and they were just like operating the opposite side of the split vote, then like kudos to both of them, because like they hard sold to Hunter at that tribal council, both of them, that he was safe. Really impressive.
No, they did good. And Q not voting for Hunter was just like a cherry on top of his story lately. Q just sending himself to a tie vote for no reason.
Yeah.
Love it.
I mean, he's trying as hard as he can to get voted out, and they just won't do it.
I'm sure it's all, I think there's a certain point where sometimes maybe you're delusional to that. Like, you still have a chance to play the game. I think it's became obvious to Q at this point that he's done. He's cooked. Yeah, I think it's a matter of.
I think he's a loser.
I hope so.
Yeah, Dylan, thinking that's a big mistake. He's biding his time till he can take control of the game again.
Yeah, he came back from that and was like, yeah, I tried to quit, and those idiots didn't take me up on it, so now I'm going to destroy them all. That was literally his confessional after the tribal council. Like, he is delusional.
He's such a great casting choice. Like, yeah. Oh my god.
I'm trying to give him a bit of a doubt. I don't know what to do anymore.
Look, I gave him a bit of a doubt at the end of last week because we didn't really have a lot of context because it came out of nowhere. After this week, right. No, he's just delusional.
Oh, man. I love him. I'm so.
He's great. He's phenomenal. Yeah.
He's just like, he's just like making it just so entertaining. Every time they cut to a confession, I'm just giddy. Like, I can't. What is Q gonna say this time? Sign me up for the Q skirt for the pre-release, whenever that comes out. I'm in. Anything. Q, I want him on the Traders. I want him on Deal or No Deal Island. Like, let's keep this going.
I'd love like a Survivor game where it's like a Bethesda game where like you have a set group of ways you can answer questions and stuff, and like it's based on the players you play. So like you can play as like super honorable players from the past, and like they're all archetypes, and the way their answers are built around that. And then you just get Q, where it's just like it's literally just like a spinning thing of like you don't know what you're gonna get when you do it. I don't know. I'm glad he's still in the game though for entertainment purposes. Because I do think once Q is out, we lose a little bit of the chaos. I do think there's still a lot of sloppy gameplay there, and I think most importantly, I think it still really does feel like a game. Truly where there's people playing for $1 million, playing to win the game rather than playing to just win Survivor itself. If that makes any sense to say they won Survivor. Because I know we've had that conversations in the past where it seems like the money has less mattered. The competition of actually winning it itself has less mattered, but it truly feels like that's this season. So I am glad that there's kind of like that monkey wrench in there in Q to kind of just completely throw everything for disarray. And clearly, like I said, we saw the trailer for Liz next week, just completely mentally destroying that girl, apparently.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing Q at the last Child Cast be like, everyone should vote me off, and then just the everyone disliked that coming up in the corner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man.
I think the reason that the bad players this season works fundamentally in a way that it didn't last season is last season the bad players were like tools for the good players. Like they were just like on a silver platter tools for the good players to use. Yeah, this season the bad players are obstacles for the good players.
Right.
As it should be.
Yes. Yeah. No, definitely. But yeah, I've been loving it. I've been loving podcasting about it. Like I really do look forward to the episode and then us talking about it every week. It's been such a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Do you guys have anything else for this one?
No, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying this season. Like I haven't enjoyed Survivor in a while, I would say.
Yep. Agreed.
No, agreed.
The previous two seasons were fun, but it's like I said, it's very clear to me now how above this season is to those two, and I really 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 hope that we get more like that in the future. But just enjoying this season, and like I said, I think that we've just really been set up for a really great finish too, because there are a handful of players left that are playing a good game that I think can finish really really strong, and I think. Even if we don't have the chaotic sloppiness that we're getting now, I think it's just been story-wise, it's been set up so well for those players. Like Charlie is a great story if he wins, kind of because Charlie kind of really came in as an underdog. You know, he's not exactly like the man's man. to kind of come out and win it. And he's like, there's Taylor Swift fan. It just makes so much sense timeline wise that they have this giant Swiftie win Survivor. But I think Charlie's playing a really good game. Kenzie, another person I never would have picked from the beginning of the game to win the game. And I think she's doing very, very well. So that's cool too. It's nice to not have, like we said, it's nice to not have those players who are very clearly just puppeteering all these other bad players. The bad players have become an obstacle for them. And the end game to see how they get around it, I think, is just set up perfectly throughout. Cause I think they're in the best shape to win. I literally have no idea who wins. I'm just very confident. I'm very confident Q does not win. And I think I think that's the way it should be these games. This is probably around the point last season when we started to piece together D is up there or any of the other players that were going to be up there where they were. Where now is like, I think Kenzie and Charlie are in very, very good shape, but things could, as we could see, things could turn left immediately each episode. So I agree. I look forward to watching it each week, talking about it, unlike we have previously. It's breathe a breath of fresh air into Survivor for me.
Yeah, no, very well said. Other than that, I think, yeah, Deal or No Deal Island has still been very fun. I recommend checking it out for a very lighthearted, silly reality show. What is Joe Manganiello?
Close enough.
I always think about how he was Deathstroke for a one post credit scene and then never. Oh, no, he was in the Justice League Snyder Cut too, right? Like that last scene on the bridge. But
I'm not going to the DCEU stuff with you right now. We've spent too much time on this.
Yeah, but I just always think about that. It's like, man, that would be so annoying when you're like, oh yes, I'm gonna be fucking Deathstroke in a Batman movie.
Stop talking about it, Brian.
sorry. Hey, it didn't work out, but we got the Batman instead, which is pretty sick.
We did, which was supposed to be a Ben Affleck Helm movie, which I still wanted to see, but it's fine. It's good.
Yeah, it's love fine. The Batman. It all worked out, I think, for the best.
Yep.
Other than that.
Very excited for the James Gunn Superman movie. You did it. You brought up DC stuff.
Yeah.
Very excited for that movie.
Yeah, other than that, check out the main channel, Wicked Good Everything. Wicked Good Sports as the playoffs, you know, keep going for the NHL and NBA. We'll be there. And Dylan, you want to plug anything or tell people where to follow you?
DJ Cleverlang on Twitter, on Twitch. I am thinking about doing more TikToks, but we're gonna get shut down in like 6 months. Mm-hmm. So I don't. I've been thinking about doing some like movie and TV stuff, some like little quick stuff.
Yeah.
I've like been like writing an introduction video for it, like a psycho, for like a week now since we last talked. Because I don't know. I'm like figuring out background stuff. I got my green screen. I'm trying to do it well, and like I'm trying to figure out editing stuff. Once again, like everything else I do when it comes to content like this, I'm gonna come up with a great idea and then I'm never gonna do it. So we'll see. But yeah, follow me there. I made a couple funny TikToks previously with clips. Nothing with my ugly mug in it. So I don't know. We'll see. But I still want to do more. I've been really excited after I got off of here. The follow-up update's out. The performance update on console.
Yeah, really excited to try that before this too. Yeah,
Very curious to see what happens because I literally just started a new playthrough when the show came out. I've gotten like really far and I'm doing a lot of fun stuff, but I also have a shitload of mods on that save. So right. I'm curious of what's going to happen there. So I've heard to uninstall all of them before. So we'll see with that. If I send you like a crying face after this, no, it's because my save is ruined. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of cool stuff. Like I said, we got stuff coming out, House of Dragon soon, The Boys. You're I think right. A lot of cool stuff for us to talk about. I'm sure Brian's gonna have a video on the NFL draft and the Dolphins and all that. So
we'll see if you know if it's an offensive lineman, which I would like, I think that would be good. I don't know if I'll do a video on it, but if the Dolphins do their Dolphins thing and draft the receiver from Texas who ran a 4.2, 440, you know, because we need another receiver. then I might make a video just being like, what are we doing here? Like, it's going to be sick in September and November and then terrible when it actually matters, like every season. But yeah, Dylan, you, any editing, anything you need, let me know.
I think it'd be really appropriate to get like semi-big on TikTok and then just have it shut down.
Yeah, that's the dream.
After years of debating to do it, just finally like getting like, I don't know, maybe like a couple thousand followers just because I say the dumbest stuff and there's like just Neanderthals like me out there. And like eventually TikTok just shuts down and I have to start over from scratch.
Yeah. Yeah, no, being part of something that gets destroyed and then you can be like, well, I went out on top. That's the dream, you know? Ben, where can people follow you online?
Pretty much nowhere at this point. You know,
Fair enough.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll probably tweet out because, you know, the BBCAN 12s at the final five, they just did the double eviction. When that season ends, I'll probably tweet out my thoughts on it. But I haven't really like
Anthony, done a bunch. Current HOH I saw on Twitter. Love that. Yeah,
so he's in the final four. And both of the, you know, I don't want to say Victoria's in the final four too at this point, but you know, both of the recurring players RCV from the final five, you could have seen that coming, you know?
Right? RCV on the week that they had the episode, the Spicy Jeff, you know, you love that. I'm happy for Victoria. I really loved her on her season originally. It was at BBCAN 9. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I hope one of them win. I think from everything I've heard, one of them will be the winner and they'll probably be the final two. Is that accurate? I mean, maybe one will cut the other final HOH, but...
I think that Anthony would cut Victoria. Victoria would not cut Anthony, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So yeah, keep giving us updates there. I will probably watch it when it comes to Paramount Plus, just because I want to see how this all played out and how they were able to just seemingly, you know, Boston Robert, you know, Paul from BB19, it just run it down. Yeah, should be good. Other than that, thank you all so much for watching, and we'll see you in the next one.